because I've been so faithful, not because I've been so good. You've always been there for me to supply my every need. You were there when I was lonely, you were there through all my pain, guiding my footsteps, shelter from the rain. And Lord, it was you who made my life complete. You are to me my everything, and that is why I sing. Come up and cry,
Jesus, I love you, because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
Because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there.
In my storm, your loving arms protect me, and you shelter me from harm. You are Alpha and Omega, you're the beginning and the end. You're my strong tower, and my dearest and best friend. And Lord, it was you
there.
Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
Praise the Lord. Let's just love him all over the house tonight. Jesus, I love you. I praise your mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God. What an awesome Savior. Hallelujah. We're going to read this evening from the 13th of Matthew. And continue studies in the book of 2 Kings, continuing our way through the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 13 and beginning with verse 10. Matthew 13 and 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, or Esaias, which saith, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, or grown hard, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their hearts, should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Praise the Lord. interesting and powerful passage of Scripture. In verse 11, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And again in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love His Word tonight, let's give Him thanks and praise for His Word forever settled in the heavens. We thank You, mighty God, for the privilege to handle Your truth, to open this holy book in this house tonight. We praise You for it and thank You for it. And everyone said amen. Praise God. In this context in which we're reading tonight, Jesus is teaching His inner core, or His basic group of disciples, and notably the 12 that He's chosen. And as He's teaching them, they have forsaken their careers, and they have forsaken the society around them, and they are, because of association with Him, they are at odds with the Greco-Roman Judean culture around them. And they are not accepted by the ecclesiastical hierarchy, and they're frowned upon by the government, both the Jewish government and the Roman government. And they don't really fit in with any major group, and they are at odds. They are called a sect, and they are called a cult. But as they're standing there, separated, small, and around Him, following after Him, having isolated themselves and to a large degree alienated the rest of the world around them because of their association with Him, He tells them profound things. He said, their eyes don't see, but yours do. Their ears don't hear, but yours do. They don't have understanding, but you have understanding. And the things that you're seeing and the things that you're hearing, wise men and prophets have longed to hear and to see. And He tells them that they are set apart unto God. Praise the Lord. These are those original disciples. It was true in their day. It was true in the day in which we're going to be looking in 2 Kings at the day of Elisha and the kings of Judah and Israel. And I want to suggest to you, it is absolutely true tonight that in the presence of God and in the close confines of fellowship with Him, there may be an alienation of this world that is around us. There may be, to some degree, an isolation. And it may seem that you are tremendously outnumbered by those who think otherwise and those who believe other things. But as it has always been with the Word of God and the lineage of God's people, in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there's pleasure forevermore. And those who entertain the presence of God have eyes to see. Those who linger in His presence, they may be isolated from their world, but they have ears to hear. And what they are hearing is the news that the ages have longed to hear. Praise the Lord. And in this narrative in 2 Kings chapter 6, we see another story here, and the stories of these prophets are little vignettes that are laced together with godly purpose and foresight. And in the sixth chapter of 2 Kings, we find the story of Elisha as he is the prophet to Israel. Israel is backslidden and Israel is paganistic, but God is maintaining faithful to His covenant. And whether you serve Him or whether you don't, the blessings of God will still, the Bible says, the sun, the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. You're going to find mercy in your life whether you serve Him or not, just because He's a good God. Praise the Lord. God, in this setting, the king of Syria, or if you're reading from an NIV, the king of Aram, has a desire to send raiding parties down into Israel or into Samaria. And as he does, he makes plans with his military strategist, and they plan to go to a certain place. But when they get there, the king of Israel already knows about it, and he eludes them, or he doesn't frequent that place while they're there. They seek an encounter with the armies of Israel, but they can't ever catch up with them. And the Bible says not a few times this happens. It happens on a regular basis until finally he's really upset, and Ben-Hadad calls his military advisors together, and he calls his wise men together, and he said, "Who among us is for Israel?" There's a spy in the midst. Said, "There's somebody here with loose lips. We're going down there, and they always know about it before time." But one of his wise men says, "It's not that, king. We're all loyal. We're faithful. But there's a prophet in Israel. There's this character by the name of Elisha. And he knows what you are saying in your bedchamber." And he tells the king of Israel. The king said, "Well, we can't have that." And so he sends a scouting party, and they find out and come back and report to him, Elisha is in Dothan. Now, that's not Dothan, Alabama. That's Dothan over there in ancient times, down by the way of Ozark and Enterprise, Dothan. Well, he's down there, and he's ensconced in a hillside with his servant. They find out about it, and they send an army down for him, many chariots and horsemen. They send an army for him, and in the morning, they've moved into position at night, and in the morning, the servant of the prophet goes out, and he looks around. He comes back into the room where Elisha is, and he said, "What in the world are we going to do? There's an army all around us. They've got us surrounded." And the prophet said, "Don't worry, don't be afraid. Those that are with us are more than they that are with them." He said, "Lord, open his eyes so that he can see." And that young man looked up after having been touched by the revelatory hand of God. He looks up and he's able to see chariots of fire and horsemen all around those hillsides. And God's army is there in greater strength than Ben-Hadad's army. Well, praise the Lord. And then Elisha walks out and says, "Lord, smite these people with blindness." He prays simple prayers. And God smites them with blindness. And then he goes out to them and says, "This is neither the road nor the city that you were looking for. Come with me and I'll take you to the man that you sought." And they followed him. And he leads them all the way down into Samaria, the capital of Israel, where the army of Israel is. Leads them right down in front of the king's palace. He said, "Lord, open their eyes." And their eyes are open, and they're outgunned, and they're outnumbered, and they're in a heap of trouble. And the king says, "Father," to the prophet, he says, "Shall I smite them?" He said, "No, because they're your prisoners. You wouldn't smite people you took prisoner in war. Give them bread and give them water." And the Bible says they'd put a feast before them. "Let them eat," he said, "and then send them back to their master." And he did, and he fed them. And they went back to their master, and they quit sending raiding parties down into Israel. It's quite a story. It's an excellent story. But as it is with all biblical narratives and biblical accounts, there's always a story in the natural. There's always a story in the temporal. But it always has spiritual significance because God is a spirit. And the word of God is spirit and it is truth. And God always has a message that is not only timely and current for the day of Elisha, but it is also timely and current for the 12 that he called out of their land and their occupation to be his disciples. And for this group that seated in this house tonight in the waning hours of the year 2004. God's got a word for this house tonight out of these pages. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that the spirit and the flesh are always warring one against the other. The spirit lusts after the flesh, and the flesh lusts after the spirit, so that you can't do those things that you would do. There's always this war between Jacob and Esau in your members. You've got a fallen Adamic nature, and you've got a spiritual nature, and they're always at war. And that fleshly nature of yours is always at war against God. There's always an uprising. There's always an insurrection. There's always resistance and rebellion and doubt and things that rise up. Romans 8 declares that your natural mind is the enemy of God. Not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. There's something about me that will never be converted. There's something about me that will always be fallen. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. If you're waiting for the day when you are completely perfect in this natural walk, you can forget it. It won't happen, because while you're in the middle of a miracle, there'll be a part of your brain that's saying, this can't be it. This can't be right. These things don't happen. When you're in the middle of obedience, there's going to be a part of you that's saying, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't lay your hand on that. You can't be responsible for the results of that. Always weighing and always questioning, and there's always a constant state of battle between the flesh, between humanity and God. And in this story, warring against Israel is warring or having some sort of a resistance against the institution of the Word of God. The manifest presence of the Word of God in the earth was Israel. And there's something in the land that hates Israel. Have you noticed throughout history, there's always been anti-Semitism? And do you notice that it's on the rise today? And they try to crush them, and they try to destroy them, and they try to bury them, but you can't bury what God has blessed. It's always going to rise up again, but there's always, as long as God's purpose is in this earth, there's going to be a war going on to crush that purpose. As long as the manifest Word of God is in the earth, there's always going to be a resistance and something sending out embassage or an army or somebody to war against the principle and the Word and the institution and the people of God. It's just always going to be that way. Always an opposition, always a ridicule, always a compromise. Praise the Lord. But I've got a word for the world today. And I've got a word for those that are of a different mindset. And I've got a word for the spirits that seek to destroy and compromise. And I've got a word for that one that's on the cusp of a decision whether or not to serve God. You can resist this if you will. You can deny this if you want to. But God knows the very thoughts of your heart, the most intimate conversations that you have in your bedchamber. God hears you in the nighttime. God sees you plotting, and God hears your conversations. You might as well give it up. You might as well forget it. You can't resist what God has blessed. Somebody say praise the Lord. But Elijah knows the words that you speak in your bedchamber. He's with you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your most intimate conversations. He knows your heartbeat. He knows what your intents are. Somebody say praise the Lord. Everywhere I go, every day of my life, every time I breathe, wherever my foot falls, God is there. And God knows the way that is before me. My God, that force that's in this earth that hates the things of God, it can try to destroy Israel, but it never, never will. I've read the back of the book, and in the last of it all, Israel is there in the hand of God. You can try to destroy the church, but I've got a word for you. I've read the back of the book, and in the end of it all, the church of the living God is adorned as a bride for her wedding day. Praise the Lord. I've got a word to serve notice tonight. You can try to destroy an individual saint of God, but I've got a word for you tonight. You can't hold down what God has blessed. You can't keep down what God has called. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God. There's always going to be a resistance. You might as well expect it. But the resistance never will win. There'll always be an opposition. There'll always be a contrary idea. It's just the nature of this warfare that we're walking through. Ben-Hadad said, we're going to put a stop to this. And there's a voice that speaks out loudly and clearly in your household and around your family, on your job and in your city, that says, we're not going to have this. We're going to put a stop to this. We're going to resist this. This is none other than the hand of God. This is none other than the manifest word of God. But we're going to close this off. There's always a voice that says that. Would you pull up, D'Antoine, would you pull up Psalms chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Praise the Lord. There is something in this world that hates the plan of God, that hates the ways of God. The psalmist said in Psalms 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? What is this that perpetually causes people to rise up against God? Go ahead. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. It is in society at large. It is in the legacy, the historical record. It's in your very body and in your makeup that you would rise up and resist against God. Go ahead. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. God is not really impressed with the resistance of this natural world. He doesn't care about the decrees of kings. He doesn't care about the policies of parliaments. He doesn't care about the positions that hell takes. He laughs them in derision. Read on. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. I've set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. You need to hear it tonight. God's got a plan, and God's got a way. God's got a savior. God's got a redeemer. God's got a deliverer, and he's put him there. And listen, when he came, they beat him, and they ridiculed him, and they arrested him, and they tortured him, and they crucified him, and they buried him, but they couldn't keep him down, and they couldn't lock him away. And on the third day, he rose up from the dead, alive with the keys of death and hell. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I've come to tell you tonight, you don't need to be affected by the pressures around you that are warring against the kingdom of God. You don't need to be affected by those things around you that are telling you you can't live for God. You don't need to be crushed in your spirit or in your fervor for God by those things around you that hate the kingdom of God. They have always been. They will always be. But they will never win. They have always been. They'll always be, but they're not victorious. He's already set his king upon his holy hill in Zion. Go ahead, D'Antoine. I'll declare the decree. You're my son. This day have I begotten thee. All of hell stood up. And it killed the little babies trying to kill the Christ. It thought the Christ had come when Moses came and tried to kill all the little babies. Every time there was a major move, and the devil understands a little bit about theology. Every time there was a major move of deliverance in Israel, there would be an uprising and they'd start killing the little babies. And Molech was sent to sacrifice the children too. And Israel would fall into that. And at the birth of Christ, Herod gives out the decree. And little children are taken and they're murdered in the area where the wise men have said the baby was born. But I read in the word of God where an angel came by night and said, Joseph, get the child up and go down to Egypt because the king seeks his life. I want you to
know there is always a plan to crush the work of God, but the work of God is anointed and protected, and there are more that are with us than they that are with them. It's a simple statement to say what you're a part of is something that's going to endure. What God has planted in you, except for your will, there is nothing in this world that can stop you from living for God.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. They sent a great host down to capture Elijah, and sometimes it seems like you're living for God against the whole world and all the media and all of academia and Hollywood and every printed piece you pick up and everything you hear on the airwaves. It all seems like it's preaching the gospel of secularism and the gospel of paganism and humanism and those things at war against the philosophy and the concepts of God. Seems like it's a great host all around us, but tonight in this house I want God to touch our minds and touch our hearts. God, open up their eyes that they can see there are more that are with us than they that are with them. Praise God. It may not seem like it sometimes. It may sometimes seem like there's a great host that's compassing the city. Sometimes you're just surrounded by it. You get up in the morning and you hear it on your radio and you hear it at the job site. And sometimes you hear it in your own family and it's all around you everywhere you go. And sometimes it seems like a great host all around you surrounding you. And the servant of the prophet was alarmed by it. He said, what in the world are we going to do? But it's always been that God housed his plan in a small place in the palm of his hand. But tonight I would God would open up your eyes and cause you to understand there are more that are with you than those that are with them. We are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. The angels of God, the saints of God that have already gone on. And I tell you, an army of apostolics that are in this earth today, praying all over the earth every day, worshiping all over the earth every day, people being filled with the Holy Ghost every day, people going down in the water in little rocky mountainside streams and a little muddy pit holes out in the midst of some pasture somewhere, little dusty place down in Africa, and the enemy would come to you and say, you're all by yourself. You're all surrounded. Nobody believes this. Nobody loves this. But I've got a word for them tonight. There are more that are with us. They that are with them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, it's all around us today. An army of unbelief that says, let's eradicate this business of God. And so they take him out of schools and they preach a gospel of paganism. Let me worship some other god that doesn't hold me to any kind of a moral responsibility. Let's believe in atheism. Let's just say there is no God. Let's become agnostic and say, well, he's out there, but you can't know him, and so you don't have to have any type of responsible attitude or behavior toward him in any moral or ethical way. Let's create another way. Let's encircle the globe with all of this. And you look at something like the Soviet Empire, and the Soviets came into existence and rose and fell in the span of 70 years, and they sought to eradicate Christianity out of their land, and they locked up the Bibles and they shut down the churches. But the Soviet Union is just dust and ashes tonight. They no longer exist, and the Berlin Wall is a heap of rubble tonight. But the Bibles is alive in the hands of people in those former Soviet republics, and there are churches springing up all over that place. I want you to know there are more that are with us than they that are with them. There's always going to be a voice that says it's not real and there is no God. But I defy that tonight. I defy it in the name of the Lord. I want you to know there are more that are with us. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Sometimes it seems overwhelming. Great cloud of voices and crowd of disciplines and ideologies that war against the knowledge of God, and it seems like they're all around us, and there's a continual clamor, and seems like it's such an overwhelming tide. But you need to have a revelation tonight. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to have a revelation tonight. Lay your hand on your neighbor right there and say, Lord, open their eyes so they can see. Praise God. Listen, that little guy was there by faith. He was there by service. He was believing God and he was serving the man of God. And in that place, because of his faith and because of his service, God opened up his eyes and he got a glimpse of something that before only the prophet could see. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You need a revelation tonight. You need a revelation tonight. Some of our young men and young ladies that are surrounded by secularism and they're surrounded by this terrible cultural war that's going on. And I don't know anybody that feels it any more than our teenagers, because they're not formed yet in terms of identity formation. They are still in flux and they're still fluid in the development of their personality. And they are determining who they are. Their identity is not firmly planted yet. And so they're determining who they are, and there's so many voices, there's so much pressure, there's so many things, even unheard and unseen, that move upon them till sometimes they feel like they're overwhelmed. But I want to challenge you to lift up the word of God in the midst of that, and when you feel that, and say, my God, there are more that are with us than they that are with them. Troubled marriages and troubled families, and the pressure is something palpable, something you can feel. It's something that weighs down upon your shoulders. Conflict in the home, and you know it's not just a natural thing. You know that there's an agenda from hell that seeks to destroy the sanctity of the home and the marriage, and it wars against you, and it seems like the clamor is incessant, and it's always pressuring. Is there any help at all? But if you're in the middle of that tonight, I want you to get a hold of this in this house, and you need to lift up your voice, and you need to say, there are more that are with me than those that are with them. Come on, give somebody high five and say, God is on my side. Come on, give somebody high five and say, there's more that are with me. My God, don't you give up. My God, don't you lay down. My God, don't you back up. Don't you stop living for God. Don't you stop believing God. Hollywood is wrong. The media are wrong. Academia is wrong. The great universities are wrong. There is a God in the heavens. His name is Jesus. Oh, you ought to praise him. When you praise, you ought to say, there's more that's with me. There's more that's with me. There's more that's with me. My God. God, I'm not by myself. Come on, somebody say, I'm not by myself. Come on, as a church family, we're not by ourselves. Sometimes you feel cut off. Sometimes you feel isolated because you're walking a holiness lifestyle, because you're living for God, because you believe that biblical doctrine, because you don't embrace everything that walks in the door. My God, you feel a little bit like you're cut off, but you got to plant your feet, and you've got to say, there are more that are with me than those that are with them. You say, well, I don't see them. You got to look a little higher than the natural. Come on. Come on, tell your neighbor, the angel of the Lord is encamped about them that love him. Ah. Can you see them? Can you see them? Do you know that they're there? My God, every now and then I'll bump into one. Well, come on, angels. Walk with me, angels. My God, they're all in this house today. They're around your house. You gotta tell me now, who would you rather walk with? Would you rather walk with those, or would you rather walk with these earth dwellers, these land lubbers? Would you rather walk with those that are heavenly in nature, or would you rather walk with these Hollywood stars and wannabes down here, and tough guys and sleazy gals? Would you like to walk with them, or would you like to walk with angels? My God, the Word of God said He's made us to sit in heavenly places. Speaking of the angels, he says, are they not ministering spirits sent to minister to those that are heirs of salvation? It's an illusion. They look like there's so many, but they're just an illusion. And in a moment, they'll all be gone. If you're holding on to what's down here, and if you're treasuring what's down here, and if you're trying to build on what's down here, it's illusory. And in a moment, it'll all be gone. And what's real will be radiantly obvious in a moment of time. What that prophet's servant saw on that mountainside in a moment of time. All of what you're seeing down here and those natural, tangible, corporal things around you, they're going to disappear. And the reality of the spiritual contract that we have with God and everything that's a part of it, it's going to be made resplendently clear in a moment of time. Don't you let the pressure of these natural things come against your faith. You need to rise up in your faith tonight. And you need to say, there are more. What's with me is bigger. What's with me is better. What's with me is more. It's of greater value. And that is against me. Praise God. Praise God. That walks and resists the plan of God is destined to blindness and a loss of control over their destiny. In our story, the one that stood with the man of God, even though he seemed to be isolated and alienated and outnumbered and overpowered, he had vision. And he saw the true reality, the nature of spiritual things, and their dominance over natural things. But those that came to resist and those that came to capture and to stymie or stifle the thing of God, they fell into blindness. They lost their vision. They became captive of that they sought to destroy. They lost control of their own destiny. Led them right down into a place where they were tremendously vulnerable. They had no power at all. Praise God. Some people gravitate toward carnal things or worldly things because it gives them a sense of power to know the buzz of your world, to be attired and to be fashionably dressed like your world, to know the vogue language or the trends seems to give you power, but it's an illusion, because as you gravitate toward those things, you lose your vision. You lose control over your destiny because something else is driving you. Jesus told that little band of disciples, he said, you're blessed because your eyes see, because your ears hear. Why don't we just love him here a little bit tonight? Could you lift your hands and praise him? I thank you, God, for spiritual sight. I thank you, God, for the power of your word in my life. I thank you, God, that there are more that are with me than they that are with them. I praise you, Lord God.
I worship you, mighty God. I lift you, God. There's folks in this house tonight trying to decide if they want to live for God or not. You need to come over to the winning side, I'm telling you. Everything in this world that you could build your life upon is a losing proposition. Praise God. Doesn't last. It'll drain you dry of every good thing in your life. God will add to you. God will build you. God will sustain you. Praise the Lord. It's ironic that those things at war against God and the manifest presence of God in this world, while they're wandering and while they're resisting and while they're stubborn and while they're unbelieving, they are still at the mercy of and ultimately will come under the judgment of the very God that they seek to resist. And that is irresistible. That is unchangeable. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Jesus said to those disciples, he said, those that have, they shall have more and in abundance. And those that have not, they'll lose even that that they have. And he's talking about spiritual vision. And he's talking about spiritual passion. I watch people. It's an interesting thing to see. That people standing in a firm place in the kingdom of God can be moved off center by the pressures of their world and the desires and the unbelief in their flesh. And they'll begin to gravitate away from that word of God, begin to move in a direction that is in opposition to the word of God, being led away by deceiving doctrines or by the complacency of the world. And those old archaic ideas of that book seem so out of place in our world, because I'm looking around me for affirmation of the word of God in the people around me, but I can't find it, because they're not living like that book says that a man or a woman ought to live. And so then I'm moved away from that by the pressure of the day that I'm living in. But as I watch individuals do that, they begin to lose precious things in their life, and they begin to lose the very vision that they had before, and they become captured by that word that was so prevalent and so effective in leading them away from the things of God. My God, I've seen organizations that had the fire of God, and they were so close to coming into a place of truth and a place of understanding, and they had so many truths apparent in their life. But as they begin to say, well, you know, the holiness doesn't matter, they begin to lose the fire. And then they said, well, you know, even the Holy Ghost doesn't matter, it's just how you believe in your heart. And then they're getting, because they're feeling the pressure of their day and they're feeling the pressure of their hour, and the voices are so loud in their ear and they can't hear God anymore, and they've lost that they had. My God, what kind of church will this be? And what kind of men and women will we be in the kingdom of God? I'm telling you, if you're going to live for God, you're going to swim upstream, because there's a tremendous amount of pressure today to lay down the standards and the doctrine and to lay down the conviction of the word of God. There's a tremendous amount of pressure. There are voices all around us that are crying out for compromise and for less than an anointed, effective experience in the kingdom of God. But I've heard something in these passages tonight. I've heard something in this word of God. And it tells me that if I cloister myself together, if we're just two standing there, if we're just the servant of God and his prophet, then there are more that are with us than those that are with them. Just two in the presence of God is a majority.
I'm looking at those 12 and Jesus, and they seem like a pretty ragtag crew. But he said, boys, what you're seeing, all of history has longed to see. What you're hearing, all the wise men and prophets of old, they have longed to hear it. My God. He didn't say that about the Sanhedrin. He didn't say it about the Roman government. He didn't say it about the powerful, influential Grecian culture around them. He said it about those that were adhering to the word of the living God. My God. My God. Praise God. Could we stand together tonight? I thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. If you're struggling tonight, you just need to look up. You need to get your vision back. You need to attune your hearing to another frequency tonight. That old song by Lanny Wolf says, I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. There's people in that same crowd that can't feel a thing. And they wouldn't know glory if it walked up and slapped them. Because they're so crushed and pressured by the things around them. Somebody needs to shrug off the worldly pressure. Come on, just shrug your shoulders a little bit. Somebody needs to shrug off the worldly pressure. Somebody needs to shake your head and get your hearing fine-tuned to hear a voice from another world. My God, somebody needs to lift up their eyes. Look over and beyond those things that are pressuring you and crushing the spiritual life out of you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God can put your life back together again. I don't care what the world says. God can put your home back together again. I don't care what the world says. God can heal your body. I don't care what the world says. God can rescue you from your circumstance or give you grace and power to be a champion in that circumstance. Hallelujah. I know there's pressure. There always has been. But lift up your eyes beyond the pressure. There's more that's with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody's backsliding. No, they're not. No, they're not. Nobody wants this. Oh, yes, they do. There's a world of them coming in.